Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Well, today is Dissociative Identity Disorder Awareness Day. Look, that is not an easy thing for lay people to say, but it's even harder to understand. Joining us on the line in order to try and explain what this concept, what this is Dr. Shana Safa. Dr. Safa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. That's
yeah, it's not our best, is it? But it certainly doesn't allow you to lie in bed listening peacefully, does it?
No, certainly not. In fact, it can flip you into a disorder of personality state.
All right, so there we go. A perfect segue into it. What is a dissociative disorder?
Well, dissociative identity disorder, there's a couple of other dissociative disorders, but maybe let me...
Okay, let's focus on dissociative identity disorder, because that is today.
So the lay term for that used to be called, and is still called in certain states in America, multiple personality disorder.
Right.
So the idea is that a person, you know, if you're watching a movie, you might be able to see a person suddenly switching into a different personality state. A person who's outgoing might become shy, or vice versa. It's almost like the person's whole experience and interaction with their environment looks different to how the person usually interacts. But let me rather go backwards and explain the idea of dissociation. What is dissociation? So this is the important part, and I always like to explain that the concept of dissociation, it's almost a way of disconnection of the brain, and let's put it this way, the soul of from what is going on around the person.
Right.
It's actually a protective mechanism to help and save that person from disintegration.
Shana, I'm struggling to hear you a bit. If you could just, I don't know, fiddle around there or talk maybe a little bit louder.
Okay, is that a bit better?
Oh, much, much better, yeah.
Oh, good. So the easiest way to understand it, if anyone's had quite a bad accident, a car accident, a trauma happening, often the person will say, I was driving, I saw this big lorry hurtling towards me, and the next thing, I didn't feel any pain. I was almost floating outside my body, watching as Hatsola arrived and the jaws of life sort of broke the car and took me out the car. So it's almost as though the person is disconnecting from themselves and observing. So we also call that derealization. But the idea is that that mechanism, which is controlled by a particular chemical in the brain, is serving to help the person negotiate that particular terrible trauma. And it's kind of preserving their soul. So if we go back to the idea of dissociative identity disorder or multiple personality, in most cases, the person has experienced some very, very strong form of abuse earlier in their life. So it can be something very serious, physical trauma by parents, it can be sexual abuse. It can even be something that's not intentional, but like a child who has had to go for, you know, medical procedures, or negotiated something like childhood cancer. So that's often the sort of...
Would you say that would be prolonged, which is different to a car accident, or I'm picturing my own a robbery, a time that I was attacked. And as you're talking about it, I'm picturing myself exactly how I did from the outside, standing with my hands on my head, etc., not as though it was me. So that's a limited time, right?
So in fact, I mean, what you're correctly talking about is the fact that you could have experienced something we call post-traumatic stress disorder afterwards, which many people do. And in fact, dissociation or a feeling of derealization can often be a symptom of post-traumatic stress, where a person will suddenly experience flashbacks of the trauma.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But the dissociative identity disorder, you write, is often a prolonged or repeated trauma, such as a child who experiences sexual abuse every Sunday when a particular person visits.
Right.
And it seems to be that the mechanism of being able to survive that trauma is that the person achieves or goes into this state of dissociation. So that's the first thing to understand. The second thing to understand is that later in life, then there are triggers which somehow prime the brain and push the person in that split second into that kind of state. It's almost like the brain.
It takes you back there.
Correct. Now, it doesn't have to take you back into the abuse, but it takes you into an altered consciousness. So let's start looking at this dissociation as a, as you said, a slightly altered consciousness. Now what happens is that when the person struggles, now this is now a third concept, let's say part of a person's personality, let's flip completely. Let's say that we get irritated by some things or other things may make us fall into some kind of temper tantrum. We can then turn around as adults and say, you know, I got so triggered by that, I started yelling at my children and I couldn't stop. Gee, I need to go to therapy this week and process this. I need to unpack this. Often when people have got more primitive or traumatized states of their brain, they can't actually piece together these different parts of their personality nor understand it, never mind talk about it. So it almost seems like a different person is taking over. I mean, I had a patient many years ago who would come and tell me how, and I'm just saying this, I'm not making this name up, but he would talk about how Frank, that's who he called his alter ego, Frank would take over. And Frank was so bad, break the house, and Frank would swear at the siblings and the mother, but he was the good guy. And then Frank would go away, and he would, you know, be quite ashamed that Frank came out. Now, he didn't say this was part of me, and I get so angry. It was kind of put onto a third person.
That's so interesting.
So it's when one can't really integrate parts of oneself. And let's face it, we've all got parts of oneself.
What I was just going to say, isn't this a sliding scale? Because we do get triggered by things and we do behave in a certain way when we get triggered. It doesn't need to be something as extreme as Frank, but it's clearly on a sliding scale, surely.
Right. So, but the point is that person will still be Howard.
Right.
Or it will, I mean, you've known me since I was a kid.
Yes.
Now, over time, and I'm talking, we're talking well.
No,
over,
just a little bit of time, Shana, a little bit.
Well over 25.
Right, exactly.
What are we now? We're nearly 50, so we're talking about 25 years.
Right, exactly,
Right, but, or double that. But the point is that over time, there's a predictable way in that you know that you can say that sounds like Shana. Shana always responds the same, even in different circumstances.
Yes, yes.
You will say that sounds like her, or I'll know that, yeah, well, that's what Howard would say.
Right.
Now, the difference with dissociative identity disorder is that the person will become so different that they actually almost, they have amnesia. We call it dissociative amnesia, but they have memory loss for when they slip into that state. And in fact, often we do have memory loss when we flip into very intense emotional states. I won't go into that now, but the point is that people may even find things in their possession that they don't know how they got there.
Amazing.
Other people may come and say, we saw you somewhere, or we met yesterday, and you don't remember meeting them because you were in a different state. Remember when we were kids, there were cartoon characters where someone got hit on the head and didn't know who they were. And sometimes a person will actually go into what we call a dissociative fugue. A couple of days, they'll go traveling and come home, and they don't even know where they were.
Incredible. And how is this? Is this treated through therapy, medication, both?
Right. So the point of the matter is, The main form of therapy or the main idea or goal would obviously be to try and reconnect in a gentle way all those parts of a person's psyche which have been fractured. You've got to see it almost as a fractured psyche. Where the person is almost retreating or living their lives in sort of different differentiated boxes. There's actually a wonderful TV series. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's called The United States of Tara, about a mom who actually, and it's quite a nice way to watch it, to see how the children respond and the husband, but it's done in quite a comedic fashion, although there's not much comedic about it, but it's done very well. Anyway, the treatment would involve definitely talk therapy because often the person needs to sort of be held in their process because, as I've said, there's always a trauma in the background. And scarily and sadly, 70% of DID patients have or will have a suicide attempt.
Wow.
And obviously, even though we're not really talking about a anxiety or depression, obviously a lot of symptoms can coincide, and therefore, of course,
and then you treat,
is
you
a tool
treat
as well. Sure.
Absolutely. Sure. Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. What a fascinating, fascinating conversation. We've been talking about dissociative identity disorders. It is a dissociative identity disorder awareness day. And joining us in order to give us a little bit more information and a little bit more context is Dr. Shana Safa, medical practitioner, specialist and psychiatrist at Netcare Linksfield Hospital. Shana, thanks for taking the time to speak to us. Have a great weekend and Shabbat Shalom. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
#YouDon'tHaveToBeJewish.